Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is A Communication Problem. Based on our gospel reading from John chapter 4, especially finding our theme in verses 3 to 7, let me read that for you. Jesus left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. And Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." So far the text. Please turn inside your bulletin, find the blue half sheet outline as we consider our sermon, A Communication Problem. The story is told of a man and a woman who decided that they wanted a watchdog, a fierce, strong watchdog to protect them at night. And so the wife sent her husband to the pet shop, and he dutifully went. And he told the proprietor, "We want a strong and fierce dog to protect us at night." And the proprietor said, "I have got just the dog for you." So from the back of the shop, he brought out a tiny miniature poodle. And the man said, "You got me wrong. I want a strong and fierce watchdog to protect us at night." And the man said, "But you don't understand. This poodle knows karate." The man didn't believe him, and so the proprietor got a big wooden plank, and he told the dog, "Karate that plank." And so the dog said, "Hi-ya!" and broke the plank right in half. The man was incredulous, and he said, "This not all. Let me show you." Went out and got a big masonry block. Clarence, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, "Karate that brick. Hi-ya!" And he broke the brick right in half. And the man said, "I can't believe it. I'll take that dog." And he brought the dog home to his wife, and he said, "Look, dear, I've got just the dog to protect us." And she looked at the miniature poodle, and she said, "I can't believe it. I sent you out for a fierce, protective dog, and you brought this." And he said, "But this dog knows karate." And she said, "Karate my foot." That's what we call a breakdown in communication. If not a broken foot. Now there's a communication problem. There is a problem in communication in John's gospel text today. First of all, the text says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Listen to the text. Jesus left Judea, went again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. That's not really true. He didn't have to pass through Samaria. He chose to. Let me explain why. Judea was in the south. Galilee was in the north. And between them was the area of Samaria. Now, you need to know that Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They despised each other. Especially Orthodox Jews would never deal with Samaritans because they were half-breed. Their religion was mixed up with the religion of the Assyrians. Jews hated Samaritans and vice versa. And any self-respecting Orthodox Jew, if he lived in Judea to the south, to get to Galilee in the north, would never go through Samaria. He would go all the way around. It would be like this. It'd be like you starting in Richmond and going to Vancouver via Abbotsford. Why would you do such a thing? So you wouldn't have to pass through Samaria. And the text says Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Please listen carefully. In this little verse is a good word for you and me. Jesus had a divine appointment with this woman in Samaria. And he would not let nothing, even religious rules, keep him from getting to her. And here's the good news for us today. Jesus has a divine appointment with you. And no matter how far you are from Him, no matter who you are or what you have done with your life, Jesus will not nothing from Him getting to see you. Out of divine love, from the very heart of God, Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go through the cross. And He has to be here today for sinners like you and like me. Nothing will keep Him from us. Look at your second part in the outline. Not only is there a communication problem in John's gospel, there's a communication problem between Jesus and this woman. We ask, why of all times in the day, Jesus, did you happen to meet her at the well at the sixth hour? Listen to the text. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and John tells us it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me to drink." It was the sixth hour. In the Hebrew clock, this means it was high noon, the heat of the day. Sychar was a small town. And obviously, all the women of that village went to the town well in the morning, in the cool of the day. It was kind of a social club as the ladies gathered to talk about news and probably gossip about people and draw their water from the well. But this woman, she went by herself in the heat of the day at high noon. Was it because of her reputation? Was it because she was outcast? Was it because she didn't want to put up with the cruel tongues or the wagging tongues of the women in the village of Sychar? Well, Jesus just happens to be at the well at noon, at the sixth hour. He had a divine appointment with her. And the text says He was thirsty. Yes, He was thirsty for water. But He was also thirsty for sinners. Thirsty for this woman. Thirsty for you and for me. Do you remember? It was the sixth hour when Jesus was hanging upon the cross, paying for the sins of the world. And what did He cry out? "I thirst." But Jesus, a Samaritan woman, in public, at noon, listen to the verses of the text. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for His disciples had gone away to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Any self-respecting Jewish man would never be caught talking to a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman, let alone at noon, all by himself, in public. And surely you can imagine there were eyes behind the curtains and tongues a-wagging seeing what was going on at the well. Oh, Jesus, what will people think? But Jesus did this on purpose. He would let nothing get in the way of His love for sinners. God's love knows no boundaries of race, of culture, of gender. Now, how open are you? How open are we? How open is this congregation to people who are different than we are? The text goes on, and we must ask, what's this living water stuff you're talking about, Jesus? Listen to the text, 9 through 15. "The Samaritan woman said, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water.' The woman said to Him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that kind of living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself.' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. For the water I give will become in him a spring of water dwelling up to eternal life. Here is another communication problem. Jesus is saying one thing. The woman is hearing another thing. How about learning some Hebrew this morning? Say with me, if you would, Mayim Hayim. Mayim? Now, what you've just said in Hebrew has two possible translations. It can be translated living water in a spiritual sense. It can also be translated flowing water, like a river or a stream in a physical sense. Jesus was talking about eternal life. And the woman, she was talking about indoor plumbing. Let me tell you what this means. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, would you please fix it so I don't have to go to this well every day in the heat of the sun and draw water? Would you fix me up with some indoor plumbing and pipe it right into my house?" Now, here's the irony. Jesus, who himself is the living water, is standing right in front of her. But it's this well water the woman really wanted, not the living water. And the well water, to apply it to us today, is this. Whatever you and I chase after, whatever we hope that if we chase after enough, will quench our thirst, give our life meaning, give our life hope. But what we learn is the water of this world is just salt water. And the more we drink, the thirstier we get. Jesus himself is the living water, and what he's trying to tell her is this. Stop chasing after the things of the world. Only I can quench your thirst and give you water unto eternal life. Now, there's more communication problems in this text. That's why we call this sermon a communication problem. And we could call these next few verses, "Oh, Jesus, mind your own business." Listen to verses 16 to 18. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You're right in saying you have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." We said in Bible class, this woman had nothing on Zsa Zsa Gabor. You remember her many times married. She was married five times. And she was living with the man now. Now we find out, do you get it? Now we find out why this woman went to the well at noon all by herself to draw water. Jesus sees into her heart, though no one has told him, and he sees into her heart and he knows, you've been married five times and now you're shacking up with the guy. We can't hide anything from Jesus. But please take note, Jesus has a word for her conscience, and then he has a word for her heart. A word for her conscience, go call your husband. A word for her heart, and come back to me here. And every Sunday morning, do you note, Jesus has a word for our conscience as we confess our sins. And he has a word for our heart as he says to those who repent, your sins are forgiven. But then the woman, who's getting a little uncomfortable with Jesus prying into her personal life, tries to throw up the old smoke screen. Listen to verses 19 to 20 from the text. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Translation, "I don't want to talk about my marital status. Let's talk about religious things. I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is a place we ought to worship." The woman wanted to get Jesus away from her personal life. So she tries a religious question about worship practices. And Jesus quickly deals with this smokescreen question, but he refocuses upon her and her need for eternal life. But she still doesn't understand who Jesus is. Verse 25, listen to the text. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." She just still didn't get it. But Jesus does not let her lack of understanding quit or stop his love for her. Jesus didn't say to her, "You dummy, I'm the living water. I'm the Messiah. Don't you get it?" No, listen to how Jesus lovingly responds to her in verse 26. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." My dear friends, do you have any idea how much love, how much understanding, how much patience, how much forgiveness your Lord Jesus has for you and for me? Look at your sermon outline, point three. There's also a communication problem between Jesus and the disciples and us. Verse 27 says, at this point in the story, Jesus' disciples came back, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" Now, the disciples didn't say it out loud, but they were saying in their heart, "Jesus, do you know what you were doing? Speaking with a Samaritan woman, that kind of Samaritan woman, and everybody could see you. Jesus, how could you?" But here is good news for sinners like you and me. Good news for anybody whose sin or guilt or shame causes them to hide from God, causes them not to go out to the well in the cool of the morning, but at noon when no one else is there. Here is good news for you and for me. God's love knows no barriers. How do we know God loves sinners? Look here. What does John 3:16 tell us? "For God so loved the world, Samaritans, Jews, Gentiles, Chinese, English, Hispanic, it makes no difference. God's love knows no barriers." And we conclude this gospel reading. Look at your Roman numeral 3, point B. Here's the key to the whole story. Verses 28 to 30. Listen to how the text ends. "So the woman left her water pot, and she went into the city. She went into the city and said to all the people, 'Come see a man who told me all the things I've done. Could this be the Christ?' And they went out of the city, and they were coming to Jesus." Here's the key of the story. She left her water jar. Her water jar. It was so important to her. It was a part of her daily existence. She didn't think she could go on without her water jar, but she literally left it. And where did she go? Back to the villagers who had been persecuting her, making fun of her, who had nothing to do with her. She went back to them to tell them about Jesus. She left her water jar literally, but she also left it figuratively. She left it. And she found what was truly important, the living water, Jesus Christ. And what about our water jars? And here's the point in the sermon where we don't just preach, we meddle in our personal lives. What about our water jars? What about your possessions? What about your priorities? What about those things in life you work so hard out to quench your thirst, but they don't quench it? Today, Almighty God has given you a challenge to lay down your water jars, those things that you think you just can't live without, that define your life and give it meaning and purpose, to lay them down. And to realize that in terms of what's eternally important, the water jars of this world, pun intended, can't hold water. Clearly hear this today. Only Jesus Christ is the true thirst quencher. Everything else in this life we chase after will never quench our thirst. Well, we started our sermon by talking about a communication problem. We want to end it by talking about an example of crystal clear communication. It was in World War II, 1944, a famous battle called the Battle of the Bulge. American troops were completely surrounded by the German 10,000 crack troops with their Panzer tanks. And the commander of the American forces was General Anthony McAuliffe. And he received a message from the German commander, and it read, "All is hopeless. Surrender. There is no hope. You are surrounded." And McAuliffe fired back a one-word response, a response that so rallied his troops, they won improbably the Battle of the Bulge. McAuliffe's response was this, to the German commander, "Nuts!" And that's all he said. And the troops rallied, and they won their victory. On the battlefield of the cross, when the powers of sin and the powers of death and the powers of the devil said to Jesus, "We've won. You're surrounded. There's no hope. It's Good Friday. Your cold body is put into a tomb. We have won." On Easter Sunday, our Lord Jesus Christ arose, and to sin and to death and to devil, our Lord said in victory, "Nuts! I've won the victory over you forever." My dear friends, regarding our understanding and our trusting and our sharing of so great a victory and so great a love, may there never be a communication problem. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.